Welcome back in. Matt Bubala here on 720 WGN. I saw a tweet earlier this week, and it just kind of blew me away a little bit, but I didn't really know if I should make anything of this or not. It says, millennials hold 4.8% of all wealth. There are now 40-year-old millennials. At the same age, Gen X had 9% of all wealth. Boomers had 21%. The largest generation in history did what the system told them to do and became the most educated in history. Now, they're the poorest in history, referring, I believe, to the millennials. Joining us on the phone right now to talk a little bit about this is Anna Staples. She is a young credit analyst for Bankrate.com. Hey, Anna, how are you?
Hey, man. Good, good. How are you today?
I'm good. And judging by the photo I see of you at Bankrate.com, I'm going to assume, although excuse me for doing so, that you are also a millennial.
I am a millennial, very much so, yes.
You are. Excellent. So tell me a little bit about this idea or the facts, I guess, that right now millennials who are turning 40, starting to turn 40, hold 4.8% of all wealth. Gen X at this point had 9%. Boomers at this point had 21%. What is that saying? Is that something that the millennial generation now needs to worry about?
Well, these numbers are, of course, very frustrating to every millennial, to every young person, but I guess they're not surprising at all because, well, of course, the older generations at this point hold more wealth than we were supposed to be holding right now as millennials. But if you look at different numbers, too, I remember this study. It was according to census data from 2017, and the numbers were adjusted for inflation. And the study said that median home prices increased 21% nationwide since 1960, and median rent increased by 72%. But median household income only increased 29%. So, you know, in this state of affairs, how are people supposed to be saving for houses? How are people supposed to be saving for anything when rent is up 72%, but the income is only up 29%? And there's just like so many numbers like that that just show that we millennials inherited this situation created by older generations. And we're really trying to build wealth in it, but it's not easy. And all the numbers, all the circumstances are against us.
You know, we like to blame millennials for a lot of stuff and throw a lot of stuff at them. But I think what you're saying certainly rings true from what I'm hearing, that millennials inherited a system where college is outrageously expensive right now. And we always tell our kids, go to college, get educated. We want them to do that. But that's putting a whole generation of kids at a severe disadvantage right now when they get out of school, and many of them are carrying $100,000 or more in debt.
Yes, it is so true. And I think the last number I heard was from Experian. It was something around $39,000 that was the average student loan debt. And it's just, it's so frustrating because, you know, when you have the rent to pay, you have student loans to pay, you still want to save because of all the economic turmoil. You're very cautious about everything and you're holding on to your money. You don't really have anything left. And yes, people are trying to do everything right. People go to college, people pay for it, and they pay for a long time. And, you know, what do we see in return? Not much, really. And I am very worried about the next generation, too, the genders, because they are inheriting the same kind of situation as we millennials did, if not worse. And, you know, the latest crisis, the pandemic, and how it hit us, both generations, the genders and millennials, it hit us harder than the older generations because, you know, genders are just barely starting. And we millennials are also, the younger millennials, kind of also starting too, because we had to delay many financial milestones because of the previous crisis. And it's really, you know, it's piling up and it's creating this very, very frustrating situation for us.
All right, so I want to make sure for a second here. I believe you're saying Gen Zers instead of Gen Z. So that's who we're referring to as that's the next group coming up after the millennials is Gen Z, correct?
Yes, correct.
Okay, so we'll call them Gen Zers. All right, that's how the cool kids are talking, apparently. So, Anna, what should you guys, I mean, should you guys be doing anything differently, or is this just kind of how the system is and you're going to make your money eventually and things just change? I mean, it's believe me, I have kids that I'm sending off to school and I can't believe the prices that we're talking about. But then there's also studies, you know, because I have one son who does not want to go to college. He just wants to start working. And mm-hmm. I get that. And there's a lot of money to be made for people that want to start working if they're going into certain sectors. But study after study shows that long term, you're more likely to accumulate more wealth the better the education you have. So how do we balance those two out?
Yeah, I wish there was just a magical solution and one correct answer, as in, you know, just don't go to college or still go to college and things will get better. Nothing is guaranteed. I think the main thing is to if you want to thrive financially, you need to know about finance, you need to self-educate, you need to know about saving, you need to know how credit works, you know, how real estate market works, really everything to equip yourself with the knowledge to, you know, survive any kind of situation and still get out of it, you know, with plenty of savings with you and, you know, with good credit and everything. So because no matter what we do, we never know when the next crisis hits. We never know, you know, when the next pandemic comes. And the best thing we can do is just to be prepared and just to do the best we think in whatever situation we're in. And, you know, I also have student debt, and I don't work in the same field. I hold my degree, and so who am I to say to people, oh, no, you should still go and educate yourself in college? So I don't think there's really a right answer to this.
Well, I think that's such a common issue right now, is everybody does not necessarily go into what they plan to do, what they studied in college. So when we come back, let's talk to Anne a little bit more about, is that the big dilemma that the younger generations are facing? And do we need to educate our kids a little bit better to make that choice when they're going off to school? Is the biggest hindrance right now starting out with a lot of debt? Or are there other issues that are affecting the millennials? We'll find out more from Anna Staples from Bankrate.com next here on 720 WGN. Matt Bubala with you here on 720 WGN. We're speaking with Anna Staples. She's a credit cards reporter and young credit analyst at Bankrate.com. You were talking just a little bit about, you know, that you yourself, you still have school debt. How many, I don't know if you mind me asking, Anna, but since you offered that, you still carry the debt. How many years out of school are you?
You mean when have I finished school?
How long have you been carrying the debt? Yeah, how many years have you been trying to pay it off?
Oh, yes. It's been, 8 years now?
Eight years. And do you know how many years you have left at your current rate?
I think about 5 years, and my mother is helping me, so there is that to consider. And I think a lot of people are actually in the same situation, and our recent studies show also that, especially in the pandemic, parents have been helping their kids, even the adult kids, with many kinds of things. And so I find myself in the same situation as well. And I think that's very common.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we hear more and more and more of that. So 13 years, you'll be spending paying off your student loans. I have a friend whose wife is in her 40s. She's been paying off her student loans for over 20 years, still going at it. That's a very common happenstance. So looking back, Anna, would you do things differently? Would you go to a different school or do something differently so that you didn't have those 13 years? Or do you feel like, hey, that's how we do it these days? That's just part of growing up now, and that's okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the funny thing is that I don't think I would have changed it. You know, first I went to study public relations, and, you know, I mainly write now, so I did some writing at school that sort of helped. you know, I kind of ventured out and did some acting, so I have some debt from that, too. So that was my, actually, a lot of that debt came from the acting school. And, you know, I don't do any acting at all, and do I regret this? No, I think it was a valuable experience that still taught me a lot. And it is what it is. You know, I don't think I would have changed that. And I don't think at, you know, when we're 18 years old or when we're even 21, we don't know what we're going to want from life in the future. So we're just doing the best that we can. And that's, I guess, what we have to stick to.
I think that makes a lot of sense because all of our experiences shape us either way. Now, there's people that maybe, you know, I would imagine if you, you know, it's tough because I have four kids that one who's in college now and three more headed there in a few years. And my biggest goal is to let them leave school debt free. I got to leave college debt free. My parents were able to do that for me. I want to be able to do that for my kids. So that's my big thing I'm trying to accomplish for them because I do feel like that is such a stumbling block to start out with. But I think for a lot of kids who are going to carry debt at some point, and as my kids are deciding what schools, you know, if my daughter or one of my sons knows they want to be a teacher, they're going to teach elementary school, then it's not necessarily going to make sense for them to go to a school that's $75,000 a year. I think it depends a lot on kind of how much are you trying to find yourself and what are you thinking about that you want to do and why that particular school, if it's going to be one that costs that much money.
Absolutely. And I am, you know, I'm not a parent yet, but I'm already thinking about my future children and how I don't want them to find themselves in the same situation. And I think there has to be some compromise between how much it costs and the return that we see from it. So, you know, if there is any good middle ground that you have to find, you know, you have to use that. You have to be looking for that middle ground. And I think it's very important as a parent to really try and teach your kids about finance, because this is the best advantage that they can have. Is they need to know what they should do with their money. They need to know how much they need to have in their savings, how to, you know, build their credit, how to start investing, all these things, because I think the main disadvantage people have right now is just the lack of education, because this kind of education is not provided at schools, it's not provided in colleges. Usually, in some colleges and schools, they do provide it, but normally, no, you don't get this, and I think that puts us in, in just the worst situation that we're in.
Well, what is your general recommendation then? I have a son who's a sophomore in college. He's going to be, you know, coming into the world here in a couple of years, and you're right, not really very well educated. He started with the Robinhood app last year, and he's been goofing around with that, but he hasn't gotten anywhere really with it, so he knows about investing a little bit. But I don't know how much he knows about it. And with your generation and the next generation probably putting off marriage longer, probably putting off kids longer, and oftentimes putting off homeownership longer, what are you, and homeownership, I don't know if it really rings the same as it did for the boomers, like get a job, get a house, that's your big investment. I don't know if we're thinking the same way. So what's your recommendation to kids just coming out of college? How do they start preparing for 40 years from now, and what should they be doing right away?
Well, the first step, of course, is to self-educate, and our recent studies show that 28% of Gen Z learn about finance from social media, which is kind of sad because not all sources on social media are reliable. But what's even worse is that 22% get no financial advice at all. So I think that should be the starting point, just to self-educate. All the information is there on Bankrate. We have all types of information about finance, whether it's credit, whether it's investing, whether it's mortgage. So I think I might be biased, but I think it's a good place to start. As far as the home ownership, I think people are still striving to buy a home, and millennials, I think, comprise the biggest part of home buyers these days. But you're completely right. We are delaying our financial milestones, such as home ownership, and in the last crisis, the pandemic, actually 21% of millennials delaying buying a house, and 12% delayed getting married, and another 12% delayed having kids. So yes, we do struggle with this. We keep struggling, and it's the knowledge that really gives us, you know, the right tools to find solutions to such problems.
Are there ways that kids can, and how important do you think credit really is? We know savings is important. How important is it for kids to start building up credit?
I think it's extremely important because it has some sort of role in every aspect of our financial life. You know, we just think about credit cards when we think credit, but it's everywhere. Whether you're buying a car, whether you're buying a house, it's so very important when you're buying a house, because the lenders will be checking your credit. They will put your credit report under such scrutiny. Everything has to be as perfect as it can be for you to get the best rate. And then beyond that, when you're trying to get a job, you know, your employer, your potential employer, might also check your credit. When you're renting an apartment, the landlords will check your credit. So it's everywhere. And I know that Gen Z are very cautious about credit right now, especially about credit cards. Most of them use debit cards. They pay with them in very common categories for groceries, for restaurants, for most of everything. And they really try not to touch credit cards as much because they've been looking at us millennials and they have seen us struggling and they don't want to find themselves in, you know, this difficult situation. So they avoid debt. But it's not the debt is that's the problem. It's when you don't know how to handle it and you do it wrong is when it becomes the problem. So, but when you do know how to handle your credit cards, how to handle your loans well, it's only, you know, it will only have a really positive impact.
You know, when I was in college, I think the day I got to college, I had a Discover card in my campus mailbox. So we used to start with the credit cards right away without any education on them. I believe now that the laws have changed and college students can't get a credit card as easily. So when do we ease our kids into doing that? Because they get their debit cards, but then they're not building credit. So when do we really want them? And should parents be co-signing for credit cards or should we avoid getting into that trap?
I think a good way to start for parents is to make their kid an authorized user on their credit card and to kind of guide their kids and to show them really the good habits and, you know, don't borrow more than you can pay off. And that's, you know, just building the base for good credit habits. And after that, you know, student credit cards are still a thing, and there are some great student credit cards, you know, Discover student credit card. Actually, I think it's my favorite so far for students, so it's a good idea to get into that. But again, being cautious with it, and I think that's kind of where the new generation wins because they're already very careful. So when they do get a credit card, you know, they won't get into debt, hopefully, because they really are scared of it. But at the same time, it's also important to remind them that they need to save because millennials already know that. Millennials are great with their savings. We have the data to, you know, to prove it. But, I mean, Gen Z, they're very young, so maybe they really didn't have a chance to save. But during the pandemic, 32% of them didn't have any savings at all, and 20% reduced their savings. And it's such a basic thing to have savings, to have this financial safety net. So I think they should really start there. So that's another crucial point for parents to make.
Anna Staples is a credit cards reporter and a young credit analyst at Bankrate.com. Thank you so much for jumping on the phone with us.
Thank you, Matt. It was a pleasure.